So how did it feel to hold your second book in your hand as opposed to your first book?
Well, the first one, it was actually pretty scary with the second one. I think we joked earlier about third book dramas.
Yes.
I had second book dramas because my first one, I had written a manuscript and I probably had it fully written for about a year before I entered it into that competition. So my reading group had read it, my mum had read it. I'd had a lot of feedback and a lot of opportunity to sort of put it into shape. So when they first got the manuscript, it was a pretty clean manuscript, whereas a town like Clarence, no one had read it other than me and the publisher.
Yes.
Because I don't have an agent. And my first draft was 156,000 words, which is 56,000 words too long. And it was a lot of I was struggling. There were so many storylines going on. I was struggling to keep track of them in my head.
Yes.
And so I would repeat things because I couldn't remember if I'd put them in already.
Yeah.
So it really took the publisher saying to me, we're loving the Amy scenes, but you've got like 40 of them in there. We only need 3. Yes. Okay. So she was able to give me some really good slicing, cutting advice.
Yes.
And help me see what storylines were the most important and what I had put in for a bit of flavour, but I didn't need it because it was like I was trying to cook a curry and a stew and a tagine and a you know, apple crumble all at the same time.
Good way to put it. But being with a publisher, you know they've got your back and they know what the readers are looking for.
Yeah.
It can help you more so than with your first, which you're going blind.
Yeah.
So
But because I hadn't had any other people read it, that's why I'm so thrilled that these reviews are coming back well, because I was anxious that it was going to be, you know, it's hard. But and the thing about books, this is the big lesson I learned in writing. It took me a long time to learn. And I used to go to, I did quite a few courses here at the State Library through the Queensland Writers' Centre. I did one called The Year of the Novel a long time ago. And they kept saying, now write a scene and then write another scene. And I kept saying, but how do you know when it's a book? Like, how is it everything? I kept thinking you had to create, like, let's say an orange. I had to create an orange, and that would be the skin and the pith and the juice and the colour and the texture and everything. But what I learned was you actually don't need to create a whole orange to create a book.
Yeah.
You just need some pips and some skin and some segments. And the reader fills in all the juicy bits. You know, the reader the reader is part of the process. So it wasn't until I'm perhaps not explaining this well, but really scene plus scene is not just 3 scenes. It's way more than that, and that's what the reader puts on. And once I figured that out, I thought, oh, maybe I can write a book. Because I thought, no, I can't envisage everything. I can't write a book. I can only do bits.
And that's a common thing when we all start out. We just want to get this whole book.
Yeah.
And it's all there in your head in pieces.
Yeah.
But you're trying to cram it into the whole without all of the stuff that goes around it. That, as you say, the reader can fill in half.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell them every single detail.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit, it's tough to even conceptualize, even tougher to do.
And even after you've done a couple, I'm sure you're still learning from all the conferences and all the writing courses and everything you do. Mm. Every piece of writing teaches you something, doesn't it?
Everything. And every course I go to, you take away some little snippet. I did one a few weeks ago with Graham Simpson, who wrote Rosie Project, at Avid Reader. They run little workshops in the little back there, which is wonderful. And it's really informal little place. And he kept saying, but what's the dramatic question now? And it just gave me this new way of looking at it. And so I thought, oh, well, so at the beginning of A Town Like Clarence, for Kirsty, the dramatic question in the beginning is, how can I run away from this problem? But then at some point in the book, it's like a turning point, and it's like, oh, what happens if I try and face the problem? So that's her dramatic question. And then towards the end, her dramatic question might be, I've learned how to stick with problems, but now I've got this guy problem. That's a whole new kettle of fish. But it was a great little idea that what's the dramatic question now?
Oh, yes. Meander along with nothing really happening, and a lot of writers do that, especially when you're starting out. So have that in your head.
Even just written out on a piece of a sticky note stuck on the keyboard.
Yes.
So you're constantly being reminded, oh, at this point in the story, she's running away. And then at this point in the story, she's sticking and she's dealing with stuff.
That's wonderful, Stella. Now, why should readers head out and buy a Stella Quinn book? What can they expect from your writing? So this is a standalone, and the first was a standalone. Yeah. But I could see this one because there's all those brothers,
all
these hunky
siblings.
Brothers and sisters having problems. So, you know, not to say you need to write a series, but when readers pick up Stella Quinn, what can we expect?
Okay, so on my website, the way I describe myself is that if the series sea change and the books that Robin Carr wrote about Virgin River, if they were having book babies, that's what I'm writing.
Right.
So small town, rural dramas, but with a cast of eccentric characters. And whilst I do touch on some serious issues, my approach is more a warm-hearted approach rather than an angsty doom and gloom approach. So I like the term dramedy, drama / comedy, because they're drama first, but they're told hopefully in a warm way that's got some comic overtones. So you're sort of, you know, as you shut the last page, you're having a bit of a chuckle to yourself and giving it a quick hug to your bosom and then say, oh, got to read another one. So the one I'm writing now, my third book.
Oh, that was my next question. Okay. What's next for Stella Quinn?
Well, it is a sequel, actually, to The Vet from Snowy River. So in The Vet from Snowy River, it's about a vet, Josh, and he is a prodigal son. He knocked up his high school science teacher when he was a teenager. And he comes back to town, and he had always wanted to be a vet, but because he'd had a baby when he was 18, he had to put those studying dreams aside, and he'd worked. So he had gone back to university late in life, and he had just qualified as a vet. He's in his mid-30s, but his sister is a vet. So he goes to work for her in her vet clinic in Hammerhand, this little town on the foothills of the Snow Mountains. So the story in The Vet from Snowy River is all about Josh and his sort of journey, and he's a single dad, and his daughter's 15, and she's a sort of a wannabe goth, and she's very, she only grunts, she's very surly, she arrives, right. She doesn't want to visit him, she's got eyebrow piercing, she's very in a bit of a rebellious space, so he's got a lot of stuff going on, but his sister Hannah is just a secondary character in that book, but she gets her own story, and that's what I'm writing.
Lovely.
Now, well, I've written the first draft, and the publisher's just read it, and now she's given me first go feedback. So what I now have to do is shimmy around some stuff, and then it'll go back to them for their editor to get stuck in, and it's coming out in May.
Oh, for wonderful.
Around Mother's Day.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's great to come around then.
Yeah. And, but, yes, a town like Clarence, Daisy, surely. And there's one line in there. There's one line snuck in there that suggests a Daisy problem with one of the characters who's also mentioned. But it's only one line. So far, nobody has said to me, but what about when? Joey thinks it. It's a line that Joey thinks. Yes. It's about Daisy. And I threw it in there as a tantalising hook that so far has not caught a fish, but
now it might.
Yeah, but
only
now it
because
might.
I've got this little snippet. And also Will, the hunky publican.
I know.
So
I just
that's
adore
my,
Will.
You know, anyone reading the story, that's my take.
I
like
think
to
Will,
see a story about Will down the track.
I think Will would make a great, and he's clearly got some secrets. He's a social worker, but he's working as a publican.
Yes.
Why do you do that?
That's
as
what
a career
I thought
change?
In my
yes.
head.
There's
that's
be
not
some,
what you would normally do as a social worker.
There's got to be some
a backstory
dark
there. Thank you, Stella. Now, you've just been to Queenstown, which I know you love for holidays. Here in Brisbane, where do you like to relax in Queensland?
I'm a big fan of Strati.
Yeah.
I do love Strati. It's really a lovely place to go, and it's a real, because it's a reading holiday. There's, if your telephone reception works there, you're lucky. You're one of the lucky few.
Yes.
There's no cinemas. There's nothing open after, 7 p.m. It's just a wonderful place to go and lie on the beach, and you can take a dog and read books. It's a real book reading place. So that would be my favourite spot. My mum and dad live just north of Harvey Bay in a little town called Chugum, which is sort of near the head of the Burram River, on the south side of the Burram River. And I do love visiting there. It's a really quiet, sleepy little fishing village. And,
you like me. I like the quiet spots because we're at Twin Waters, which compared to the rest of the coast, we went there yesterday. And it was the other side where the resort is really busy, but our side, quiet.
Yeah.
Reading, writing. I love to write near the water.
Me too.
So,
me too.
Yeah, it just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and just walking on the beach, picking up driftwood, and we often make, I used to take the kids up there on school holidays, and we'd gather driftwood and shells, and we spent hours trying to train ourselves how to use a drill bit to drill a hole in shells, and we'd smash a zillion shells in the process, trying to make little, mobiles and wind charms and things like that.
That's a good little project to do that. Mm. Now, plotter or pantser? This is what everyone wants to know.
Plotter. I'm a plotter. Yeah, I am a plotter. I find, and actually, in the, as different aspects of the craft perhaps come differently to different people, but I found dialogue and voice, I could do those. I didn't have to work at it at all. They just arrived, luckily. But plot is my weakness. Trying to bring home story ideas through. That's why I needed to. That's why I think I had to work so hard doing those beginning, middle, end projects, because I really find that hard. So I have to plot. I think if I pantsed, my story would never even end. Like, I have to be a plotter.
Yes.
Not saying I stick to my plot ever, but
it's good to have that structure to scaffolding to hold things onto.
Yeah, and I think for every future project I ever do, I'm going to really do those character workshops more, like, because I know in a town like Clarence, Kirsty, my main character, who's turned out really well, I think, in my first draft, I didn't really have a good grasp of who she was, and I had started with, there's a scene in there, I don't know if you're up to it yet, but there's a scene in there where Joey does a backflash when he's a teenager and he's in year 12 in detention, and that was my initial start to the book. That was the prologue. And the publisher said to me, because she knew I was having problems with Kirsty, she said, why don't you try writing a new start to the book and do it from Kirsty's point of view? Because that might help you just see what her sort of angst is. Like, why is she the way she is?
Yeah.
And so I rewrote the beginning, which is now starts with Kirsty as like a 11-year-old. I think she's 11.
Yes.
And her mum's doing a getaway, doing a runner from a motel.
And I love that. That put everything, it clarified everything for me.
Well, same to me. So I wrote, can you believe? So I wrote that scene, and just with Kirsty, the way she was so, having to be so brave about her arm because there's an incident, but also so sunny and optimistic about it. But so willing to not think deeply about the problem.
Yes.
So have that, just that exercise. The publisher, it was gold. That was gold advice, because as soon as I wrote that scene, I thought, oh, now I know who Kirsty is. Now I understand why she is the way she is. And so I could make her personality better because I knew more. So I think I would have saved myself 56,000 words of waffle. If I had done a bit of a character workshop.
But it's a process.
It is.
We have to go through it in our head. And that's really good advice for aspiring writers, that it's not necessarily the place you first start.
Oh, yeah.
And with my writing too, I've completely changed the start because it wasn't, it was great to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily, that doesn't end up being the first scene in your book.
Yeah, yeah.
And prologues can be controversial, can't they?
I know, and I love prologues. And
me too.
Yeah, I'm right into them. And so when the publisher said, oh, we probably don't need that Joey bit in there, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever written. So I snuck it back into the middle, thinking, oh, maybe she won't notice.
And that's good. You never throw anything away, because even if you get rid of it in this part, it might come back later.
Yeah.
So always keep everything just in case.
Yeah, and I was laughing because in my current manuscript I've got a prologue, of course, and of course she wants me to move it. So I said to her, oh, you wanted me to move my Joey one in the last book. You wanted me to get rid of it. I said, did you notice how I snuck it in the middle? And she said, yes, I did notice it.
But she liked it in there.
She liked it in the middle. It gives you a nice look at Joey as a youngster. I mean, yes. I thought it was,
I haven't quite got to that point yet, but now I'm looking forward to it. Well, Stella, thank you for your time today and every success with A Town Like Clarence. It's a beautiful rural romance by a wonderful Brisbane author. You're off to the Romance Writers Conference in Perth soon.
In 2 weeks, yep.
And that's a great place to start. If you're thinking you might like to write romance, join Romance Writers, join QWC, join Australian Writers Centre, and write.
Perfect. I agree with every word, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Stella. It's great to call you my friend and fellow Brisbane author. And, yes, every success with the next book, which will be out in time for Mother's Day next year.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by She Society.